Now, if you've got a Bible tonight, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're going to read together from verse 35. Just a short reading tonight. Very simple reading, but regarding some important facts as far as salvation is concerned. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now we'll end the reading there at the end of verse 42, and we look to the Lord for his blessing upon his word. I wonder, is Christ the object of your desire? That was the question that we were addressing last Sunday evening. The Lord Jesus Christ had performed another great miracle in the midst of these unbelieving people in the feeding of the 5,000. And yet this miracle was just an introduction to everything that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to say about himself and about the needs of these people to whom he was ministering. He gave a word of warning to them because he told them to be earnest about spiritual things. He warned them to make salvation the object of their desire. And the reason for that was that these people had a wrong attitude towards life. They were far more interested in the physical than they were in the spiritual. They were more interested in the here and now than they were with things that were eternal. And they were far more interested in the physical needs of their bodies than they were with the spiritual need of their souls. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave them an invitation. He said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He made it very clear that he had come to do the work of God. He had come that they might believe in him, that they might feed on him, the living bread, and find in him everything that they needed, both in time and for eternity. They had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. But he had come not to feed the body, he had come to feed the soul. He had come so that their spiritual need might be met, and that in the Lord Jesus Christ that need might be met abundantly. When we return to these verses again tonight in John chapter 6, we look at some important facts regarding salvation. Listen to what we read in verse 37 of John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let me remind you, first of all, this evening, that salvation finds its source in God. Salvation finds its source in God. In pastoral work and in the work of evangelism, I have heard many people say over the years to me that when it comes to this whole matter of salvation, that one day they'll sort it out when the time is right. They talk in terms of doing business with God when it pleases them. They talk about that day when it suits them, when they're going to think seriously about spiritual matters, they're going to deal with these issues, but at the moment it's not pressing, because they still believe with all of their hearts that somehow their destiny rests in their own hands. Well, let me underline immediately to this congregation this evening that salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to these unbelieving people on this occasion, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Now we need to be very careful here that we don't lift this out of its context and use this verse in isolation as many people do. You see, it follows on nicely from what the Lord Jesus Christ has already said to these people about He being the bread of life. Now He's not surprised by their attitude towards Him. He's not surprised for one moment that their hearts are filled with unbelief. He's not surprised that they're turning their backs on God's salvation. He's not at all surprised at their lack of interest in spiritual things, because we've already said that they were more interested in their physical need than they were in their spiritual need. And Jesus has already said to these same people, you will not come to me that you might have life. It's not that Jesus Christ didn't want to save them. It's not that He didn't have a salvation for them in the midst of their great need. It was the fact that these people wouldn't come to Him that they might have life. And now Jesus Christ reminds them that even if they don't come to Him, there would be those who would come, and when they would come to Christ, they would find life. They would embrace salvation, because these unbelieving people could never frustrate the plans and the purposes of God, either by their attitudes or indeed by their actions. You see, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that God is calling out a people unto Himself. We're not going to go down the road of being bogged down with the doctrine of election. But there's one thing absolutely sure, that God is calling out a people unto Himself, and God is preparing that people for heaven. Now these Jews were listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had an opportunity to be numbered amongst them. But they would not come to Christ that they might have life. And Jesus says to them, even if you don't come, if your attitude holds you back, if your stubbornness of heart holds you back, if your heart is filled with unbelief and you won't come to me that you might have life, there are others who are coming, and there are others who will come, and they will find in me everything that they need, even though you are going to miss out. Jesus is saying that the unbelief of some will not stop others from coming. And the hardness of the hearts of these people will not stop the work of God in the sinner's life from continuing. Listen, friend. God is still calling out a people unto Himself. The God who in eternity past drew up His great plan of salvation has provided a means whereby you and me and every single one of us gathered here tonight can be saved. God has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And on the cross at Calvary, Jesus Christ gave Himself for the sin of the world. He gave Himself on that cross for your sin and for mine. There's an opportunity for you to be saved this evening. But if you refuse to come, there's one thing absolutely sure, others will come. And when they come, they'll find in Christ all that they need, in time and for the whole of eternity. They'll start out on the way to heaven and home. And while you fail to come, and you miss this God-given opportunity, why, they rejoice forever in heaven. You'll be lost forever in the caverns of hell. God is calling out a people to himself. And the invitation is extended to every single one of us, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you won't come, and you don't come, there are others this evening right across the globe, and they're responding to the claims of Christ upon their lives. And while they're being saved, despite all your opportunities, the problem is that you might well be lost. Maybe you don't really understand that. Maybe you don't understand what I mean when I say that salvation is of the Lord. Well, let me put it as simply as this. Let me give you some reasons why this must always be so. The first reason is very clear and simple, though you may not accept it. Man has no ability to save himself. Man cannot save himself. He doesn't have the desire, and he does not have the ability. Because he's born in sin and he's shapen in iniquity. He's a sinful, fallen creature with a natural bias towards sin. And he's controlled by that old nature. And try as he pleases, he cannot please God. Every effort he makes to please God ends in failure. And there's absolutely nothing he can do to bring about change. The sinners, we need outside help. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in the first place. He came to do for you and to do for me what we could never ever do for ourselves. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Scripture says. And he who knew no sin and did no sin was willing to go to that old rugged cross on Calvary to lay down his life for us, that our sin might be dealt with, that our soul might be saved, that we might be reconciled again to God through the blood of Christ's cross, and that we might be sure, and I mean absolutely sure, of a place in God's heaven. And I think the little course sums it up perfectly, and it's everything that I'm trying to say to you regarding Christ. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, for Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Left to myself and in my sin, I would just have been numbered along with others who were going down a broad road that leads to destruction. Man does not have the ability to save himself. But let me give you another reason this evening that perhaps you don't understand. It's not man's inability to save himself. It's the devil's ability to control the sinner. While a man is in his sin, he's under the devil's control. The Word of God makes that abundantly clear. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So whether you like it or not, you're just not lost in sin this evening. You're shackled to Satan. You're like a man or a woman living in a condemned cell, and your feet are fastened, And there's absolutely nothing that you can do to break free. Satan controls your life. And the only way that I can ever change is for the fetters that bind you to sin and to Satan to be broken. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. You may not see that or accept it, but it's a reality. You might feel offended this evening for me to suggest that you are held captive by Satan's power. But here's the good news. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. The devil has blinded you. He's deceiving you. He's leading you further astray than perhaps you ever thought you might go. And he'll take great delight in condemning you for the whole of eternity. And the only one who can set you free is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's inability to save himself, the devil's ability to control the sinner, God's ability to release the sinner. You see, the gospel's good news. Your case isn't a hopeless case. Your condition's alarming. It's even frightening. And at this moment, eternally condemning. But thank God, in the gospel and through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be released. The Lord Jesus Christ can set your soul free. God in Christ wants to lift you out of the mire of your sin. He wants to transform that life of yours. He wants to take those shackles and release you and set you free from your burden of sin. How do I know that? The hymn writer says, "Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised. Promised for you and for me, though we have sinned. He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me." Have you been thinking about the words of our opening hymn? George Wesley's probably one of the greatest hymn writers the church has ever known. From the time of his conversion to Christ in 1738, he wrote an average of 2 hymns every week for 50 years. He has composed between 5,000 and 6,000 hymns during his lifetimes. Most of those hymns written on horseback as he traveled from place to place with his brother John, bringing the gospel to thousands of poor people like farmers and miners who would never have made their way to church. And though I like many of Wesley's hymns, one we sang tonight remains my favorite, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood." Listen to these words again. This could be your experience. Even though you've come to the meeting, you're unable to save yourself, you're held captive by the devil. Listen to the words that you've just been singing tonight. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon, flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Why will you continue to live in your sin when there's one tonight willing to set you free? Why will you live, as it were, in a condemned cell, enjoying all the pleasures of the pomp of this world that's fleeting and passing, knowing that Jesus Christ can not only break the fetters that bind you to sin and to Satan, but give you a life that's worth living? Why will you live like a condemned man or woman, or a condemned young person, when you could rise up tonight and have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? You say to me, could I really have all of that? Oh, you could have all of that and much more. For you could enter into blessings that tonight you can't even begin to imagine. Salvation finds its source in God. You'll not do business with God when it suits you. You'll not just leave it at that time in your experience when you feel, I'll send for God now. God doesn't work like that. You need to seek the Lord while He's yet to be found. You need to call upon Him while He is near. If God has been loosening those chains and speaking to your heart in recent days through one thing or another, even through these meetings on a Sunday evening, and God is reaching out to you again with this offer in the gospel that you might come to Christ and find in Him life that is abundant, then respond to the claims of Christ and trust Him as your Savior. You could be a free man, or you can stay as you are and live in a condemned cell, die in your sin and lose your own soul for the whole of eternity. Salvation finds its source in God. Let me tell you something else. Salvation offers security with God. Listen again to what Jesus says. He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a great statement that is. Look at the term explained. Jesus says, him that cometh to me. What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is simply speaking about a movement of the soul. It means that a man or a woman or a young person sees themselves as they really are in the sight of God. They see themselves as a sinner, condemned and unclean. They're prepared to acknowledge that they're separated from a thrice holy God, that without Him they have no hope in time or for eternity, and they realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners, and they come in repentance and in faith, and they trust Him to be their Savior. That, of course, is a great difficulty for many people. And it just might be the very reason why tonight you're not saved. And even though you've sat in these gospel meetings for umpteen years, and you've heard one pastor and one preacher after another bring to you the Word of God and the gospel, this just might be the very reason why you're not saved. It's because you've never taken the sinner's place. You've never been prepared to acknowledge that in the sight of God you're a sinner. And your argument has always been and will continue to be, ah, but Pastor, hold on a moment. I've never done anybody any harm. Pastor, I've gone to church all my life. Pastor, I've never gone out of my way to help anybody. Pastor, I have done this and I have done that and I've done the other thing. Take a look at me. Look what I am. I'll tell you what you are. You're a sinner. Just like me. Just like every single man or woman or young person who has entered into this building tonight, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. And if you don't come to the place where you accept your sinnership in the sight of a holy God, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. You need to realize your sin and your guilt in the sight of God. You need to realize without Christ you're living and you're going to die without hope. You need to realize that the death of Christ and the shedding of His own precious blood is the only way that you can know forgiveness for your sins. And you'll have to get to the place, man or woman, difficult though it might be, you'll have to get to this place where you can honestly say, it's not a matter of what I have done or what I can ever do. It's all about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. On that center cross at Calvary, when there He hung, suffering and bleeding and dying between two thieves, not for His own sin, but for your sin and for mine. You have to come to Christ, that demands a response on your part. A personal response, an urgent response, and a response that's evidenced by repentance toward God and by faith in the Lord Jesus. You say to me tonight, what do you mean, repentance? Well, it means to tell God that you're sorry for your sin, and that you accept that you are a sinner, and that you're willing to turn from it and leave it behind. And start out with him tonight by faith and follow his word and obey his will and give the Lord Jesus Christ first place in everything. I hear some of you saying, Pastor, I tried that and it didn't work for me. What do you mean it didn't work for you? But Pastor, I tried that and I came to Christ and I was saved and tonight I'm not going on. Well, why are you not going on? Are you trying to blame the Lord Jesus Christ for that? I can assure you, friend, whoever you are the one who left him. He never left you, for he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he never breaks a promise. So wherever you are tonight in the pathway of life, and if you're far from the Savior that you once trusted and loved and even used to serve, then I encourage you to come back to the place where you ought to be. For the Lord Jesus Christ is still waiting. And here's the wonderful thing. That even though you've gone and gone back again into bypath meadows, and you've been treading the path of sin with a heart of love and compassion, he's still waiting and willing to receive you back again to himself. The term explained, him that cometh unto me. The truth experienced very quickly, Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise. I will never, never, ever cast out. The Lord Jesus says that he will refuse none who come to him. It doesn't matter how great the sin. It doesn't matter how burdened the sinner. It doesn't matter about her age or her background. Doesn't even matter about her religious upbringing. Doesn't matter whether this is the first time we've ever been in a church building or not. The important thing is that Jesus Christ will refuse none of us. And thank God he'll accept every one of us. Oh, precious word that Jesus said, the soul that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out, whoever he may be. That whoever includes you, and it includes me. Whatever our sin and our shame, the Lord Jesus Christ will embrace us in his loving arms. And if you and I come in repentance and in faith, he'll take us and he'll save us and he'll keep us and he'll care for us, and one day he'll bring us safely home to heaven. And you have his word on that, not the preacher's. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to him tonight that you might be saved? A few years ago, a magazine ran a story on people from every walk of life. Some of them were homeless people living on the streets. Some of them were millionaire bankers. Some of them were priestmen. Some of them were judges. Some of them were teachers and so on. They all stood to be photographed in nothing but a bath towel around their wrists. And the interesting thing was this, that they all looked the same.
and nobody could tell who was what. That's just the way we come to Christ for salvation. We're absolutely naked with nothing of ourselves to offer. We just come the way we are. Hell deserving, condemned sinners. But we come to one tonight who died for sinners on the cross, that we might be gloriously saved. Friend, Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not at once to decide, while the Spirit now is striving. Turn and seek the Savior's side. You can continue on in your sin.
You can live in that sin, shackled to Satan for the rest of your days, and go out into a Christless eternity, and your soul will be lost, and you'll be in a place of no hope and no escape and no reprieve. Because this book says that you'll be doomed and damned forever. Or you could heed God's invitation in the gospel, that you could repent of your sin and come and trust Christ just now as your Savior, that you could start on your way home to heaven. And you say to me, Pastor, I'd love to believe that. I want to believe it. I almost do believe it. But do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ would take even me? Friend, he took me. And he took many in this meeting. He took a man who once described himself as the chief of all sinners. And he can take even you, and you have his word on that. For he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You'll never get a better invitation. You'll never hear a more urgent invitation. These are facts regarding God's so great salvation, and you need to ponder them, and you need to come while you're still in time and not in eternity. If you go home tonight, man or woman, young person, and you're still convinced that your destiny rests in your own hands and someday you'll do business with God, you need to think again. You need to think again. The only time you have is the time God has given to you right now. He wants to save you, and he's waiting to save you, and he will save you. If only you'd come. If only you'd come. And Jesus says, if you do come, I will in no wise cast you out. Will you come this evening and be saved? Or will you trifle on in your sin when you know one day you might be condemned? Now let's bow together in prayer. And just as we quieten down our hearts before the Lord this evening, I know, because I wrestled with this for a long, long time. I know it's hard to take the sinner's place. I know it's hard to make the sinner's prayer. I know it's hard to leave your sin and come to Christ. But friend, unless you do, you'll never ever be saved. Despite what you think you are,
God says you're a sinner. But you can come like one of old and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll show you mercy. And he'll forgive your sin. And he'll save your soul. And he'll put you on the pathway to heaven and home. Will you come tonight? Jesus wants and is waiting to save you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that many of us tonight have come to that old rugged cross by faith. So in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior for sinners, and accepting our true state before you, we turn from that sin and we trusted Christ for salvation. Some are here tonight still without a Savior. Some are away from the Lord and know they need to come home. We just ask that you would bless your word to us. Speak to every heart and give great grace this evening that some will come and trust the Savior. We ask it for their good and for your glory and in the Savior's name. Amen.